God expresses his fatherhood with a love so enduring, so unconditional, it simply can't compare to the fickle nature of human love. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah examines what else comes from being adopted into God's family as his sons and daughters. As he continues the series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, listen as David introduces the conclusion of his message, The Relationship of Prayer.
Well, today we continue our discussion of a relationship that prayer epitomizes, the relationship between God and his children. Until you know the Lord through his son Jesus Christ, it's hard to have this relationship. In fact, it's impossible. But once you know God through Jesus Christ, the door is open for you to communicate. And the Bible says you can come boldly before the throne of grace to seek for help in the time of need. And how wonderful it is to know that the God of heaven, the God who created the universe, flung the stars into space and hung the moon and the sun, who sustains the earth every day by his loving presence, that God is the God who wants to hear from his children. And we pray to him, and the Bible says he hears. He is our Father. We are his children. That's the relationship of prayer. Right now, we want to finish up what we started yesterday. Yesterday, we began to talk about the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, Our Father, who art in heaven. Isn't it amazing that when we pray, we're praying to our Father who is in heaven? We are sons of the Father. In the Old Testament, we were servants. In the New Testament, we are sons. And in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. When I think about looking up into the face of a loving Heavenly Father who cares for me and cares for me more than the most intense love I know as a human, I can say with John, what manner of love is that? What an incredible thing that is. The fatherhood of God and our relationship to Him has a bearing on a number of doctrines in the Word of God. For instance, the incarnation in Galatians 4, that whole relationship took a change when God sent forth his son born of a woman. But then he mentions the Holy Spirit. Not only is the incarnation involved, but the day of Pentecost is involved as well. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed everything. When the church was born, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. And because of that, we are now able to call God our Father. He is our Father. And Jesus Christ, always referring to God as my Father, shows us the way of the relationship between a son and his father. Our Father, who art in heaven. Now, the father part of that phrase is all about intimacy. That's the person. But the place that is mentioned here kind of puts a different twist to it and brings to the passage the tension we always find in the Scripture. Have you noticed that? That God, by His Holy Spirit, has built tension into the Word of God in a magnificent way so that we never go off in one direction too far, but the truth is held together in a kind of insoluble relationship so that we are held at the right place. For instance, if I am only taught that God is my Father, then I have a tendency to move over into that realm of flippancy, that kind of extra familiarity, the slang language that is often developed up around religion and personal relationship with the Father, such as the big Dodger in the sky, which we might be questioning these days, or the man upstairs, or whatever. I don't like those terms because I don't think they reflect the true majesty and greatness of who God is. But when we get over here on this side, my Father, we get into the intimate part of our relationship, we might have a tendency to do that. If it were not coupled together with the rest of this truth, our Father who art in heaven, He's in heaven. And that reminds us that the earth is His footstool. And that He is a God of majesty and might who is worthy of our praise and of our worship. He is the glorious King. He is surrounded by the angelic host. In whatever way you wish to imagine it, He sits on the throne of majesty, and at His right hand is His Son, Jesus Christ. He is ministered to by all the creatures of glory. Think of all the regality that you know in this world, the domain of the kingdom of this world, and multiply it by 100 times 100, and you haven't touched anything of the glory and majesty of the Father who is in heaven. He's in heaven. I don't know about you, but that strips my gears. How do you do that? I mean, you just get on telling me He's your Father, and now you tell me He's up in heaven. One time you say, I think He's approachable. The next time I wonder how I'm going to get through. How many of you remember years ago when John F. Kennedy was the president and Life magazine published a whole series of photos of his children? Do you remember those pictures of John and Caroline playing with their toys on the floor of the Oval Office? Do you remember that? Those captured the hearts of the American people like nothing ever that has come out of a president's family before or after. Why? Because I think in some ways it bridged the gap between these two thoughts. Here was the president of the United States with two little kids playing with toys on the floor of the Oval Office. Now, I don't think your kids would have been allowed to do that, nor mine. But his kids were. Why? He was their father. He was the president of the United States. He was their father. He's in heaven. He's my father. I don't in any way, by adding this illustration, attempt to put myself in the category of the president of the United States. But I want to add this little illustration, if I might. We have a lot going on here at Shadow Mountain, if you've observed. There's a college and a school district and a church and a radio ministry. And this can be a pretty busy place. And because of that, God has raised up around me some people to help me. And I've got a wonderful group of folks who help me do what I do. And I've got a couple of women who manage my schedule. We had this thing in our office that whenever my kids came, it didn't matter when they came or who I was with, they could always get in. Now, if I did that with everybody, there would be mass chaos in there. I can't do that for everybody, but I'll do that for my son, because he's my son. And we have this special thing between us. I'm his father, and he can walk into my life anytime he chooses. And that's the way it is with the Father in heaven, isn't it? When you became a son, when you were adopted into the family of God as the Son of God, He opened up for you through His Son's death on the cross a way of fellowship and relationship that makes it possible for you to bypass going to the temple with an animal sacrifice. You can go right into the presence of God Almighty, and He will hear you. And He, though I don't understand how He does it, if it all happens on Wednesday, He will hear you. He will hear you. Because you're His son, you're His daughter, and He's your father. There is a verse of Scripture that puts that all together, and I'd ask you to look it up, but I don't want to lose you. So you let me read it to you, all right? I want you to hear this. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Listen to this verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Wow. Do you get that? He says, thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells in the high and holy place. Oh, and by the way, also with those who are of a humble and contrite spirit, with you and me. Incredible. He is our Father who is in heaven. And your relationship to Him should be built like that. I should just pause for a moment to say that there is enough in this little phrase to destroy atheism. For it says, Our Father who art. And in that phrase alone, atheism is finished. I can't imagine an atheist ever praying the Lord's Prayer. You know, one of the sad things about being an atheist is, who do you thank when something goes good? I mean, what do you do? This prayer does away with atheism, and it brings into a relationship God's children and Father. Did you know that one of the names that is used for this prayer, I think it's a Latin word, it's the word Paternoster. P-A-T-E-R-N-O-S-T-E-R. Paternoster. You know what that is? That is the first two words of the prayer. Our Father. It's almost as if the name of the prayer has been taken in that little word to describe our relationship with God. Let me ask you a question, class. Do you relate to God like that? Are you in fellowship with Him? You know, my fathering has changed a lot. How many of you know that just when you figure out what it's supposed to be like, they're all gone? I finally figured out fathering, and now my kids are all gone. And I learned a lot about being a father, and my fathering has moved into a whole new realm. I'm fathering long distance. I have entered into a relationship with AT&T in my fathering responsibilities. Now, if I'm like that as a earthly father with limited resources, how do you feel about the Father in heaven who owns the cattle on a thousand hills? You don't need a phone card or 800 number. He'll pay for it all. And He's waiting for you to walk into His presence in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. If this is true, if it is true that He is our Father and we are His sons, then there are four things that I want you to remember because of that. And you can write them down if you want to, but you can just remember the phrases and you won't forget the words. If He is our Father and we are His sons and daughters, then number one, we have a new relationship, don't we? It's a whole new thing that happens when we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us and we are born into the family of God. And Romans 8:39 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are His eternally. We belong to Him. We are born into His family. You can't be unborn. He is ours. Nothing can separate us. Go and read Romans 8. Look at the whole list that is presented there of the things that might potentially separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you. You have a relationship that is eternal with God the Father. I have said to my children, each of them individually and probably all of them together on more than one occasion, our love for you is unconditional. No matter what you do, we will love you. You cannot do anything to destroy our love. It is unconditional. And that is human love, but God's love goes beyond that. It's a whole new relationship. Number two, it says in Galatians chapter 4 that we are heirs of God. Romans 8 says we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends. God put me in His will. He wrote me in His will. He put me in as an inheritor. And when Jesus Christ died, the will was executed. I'm just waiting for my inheritance. And He'll never write me out. One of these days, because I'm His son, I am going to inherit everything that is mine by virtue of the fact that I belong in the family. I've got a whole new reward to look forward to because I'm a son. And He's my Father. And then Galatians 4 also brings this truth, that I have a new resource because the Holy Spirit now lives in my heart. He lives within me. I don't understand this completely, but review with me for a moment the progression of truth as you remember it. Christ came into the world, He died, He was buried, He was resurrected, and a few days later, He ascended. And before He ascended, He said, "Before I ascend, I want you to know that I'm going to send another Comforter who is not only going to be with you, He's going to be in you." And He sent the Holy Spirit to come to live within us. By virtue of my sonship, I have a resource now. I have the Holy Spirit living within me. You know what He does? He helps me to be what a son should be. He helps me to walk and live and talk like a son of God. I couldn't do that if the Holy Spirit weren't within me, because the criteria is far beyond anything I could ever produce. But oh, one day when Christ came to live within my heart, he put his blessed Holy Spirit in here. And now I've got this power to live in a way that's beyond anything. So that when people see me, if I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit, they say, he must be one of his sons. She must be one of his daughters. Do you see it? When the Holy Spirit came to live within you, when you accepted Christ into your heart, you got the blessed Holy Spirit to come and give you the inward strength and power to live in light of who you really are as a son of God. Every single day, I've got this resource because he's my Father. That's better than a phone card. That's better than an 800 number. That's power. And then there's one last thing, and I hope you'll hear me on this because this is so important. I got a new relationship, and I got a new reward, and I got a new resource. But I also have a new responsibility, don't I? Our Father. I'm not in this thing alone, and nor are you. I've got some brothers and sisters, and most of you are my brothers and sisters. And because now I'm in the family, and you're in the family, we're all in the family together. We can't have any sibling rivalry here. We've got to be in the family together. I've heard all the stories about how brothers and sisters fight, and I partly believe it. And I believe it true in the church as well. But if it is true, it's because we don't understand who we are. Listen, we're going to spend eternity together. We're going to live in God's house forever and ever, according to Psalm 23. And we're going to be there with our brothers and sisters who have the same heritage we have. We're sons and daughters of God Almighty. And when we pray our Father, if we're having squabbles with each other, it mitigates against the reality and the efficacy of our prayer. And it's almost like a check when we ever come to this prayer or we pattern our prayers this way. As soon as we say the word our, we have to back away and see if everything's all right. I mentioned to you this before, but I don't want you to forget this because it is quite important that there's only one thing that our Lord repeated after the prayer for emphasis. Do you remember what it was? In the prayer, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then in verse 15, he takes another shot at that truth, and he says, if we don't do that, in some way, we get into the relationship we have with our Father, and we mess it all up. Did you get that? For if we don't take care of relationships with each other, it ends up messing up the relationship we have with the Father. Do you understand that, fathers? How many of you have grown children? You have grown children? I want to ask you this, and I'm thankful I don't have this problem, but I've talked to lots of people who have grown children who they can't even go to a family reunion because there is a messed up relationship between two of their children, and they don't know how to celebrate Christmas, and they don't know how to celebrate Thanksgiving, and they can't put any family things together because the relationships between the children are so messed up, it's hard to get the family together without there being all kinds of stress. You all know stories like that, don't you? Translate that into the spiritual. God, the Father of us all who are believers, wants our fellowship to be right. So because I'm a son, I've got a new responsibility to walk with my brothers and my sisters in the power of that Holy Spirit that he has put within me. I want to tell you a story as we finish about a hymn that we never sing, but it's a blessed story. When Charles Wesley found Christ on Whit Sunday in 1738, his experience overflowed into some marvelous verses. The Wesley's conversion hymn, Methodist Hymn Book, page 361. In which the transition from slavery to sonship is the main theme. It's a little stilted in language, but listen to the words. Where shall my wandering soul begin? How shall I all to heaven aspire? A slave redeemed from death and sin, a brand plucked from eternal fire. How shall I equal triumphs raise or sing my great deliverer's praise. How shall I the goodness tell, Father, which thou to me hast showed, that I, a child of wrath and hell, I shall be called a child of God? Should know, should feel my sins forgiven, blessed with this antepast of heaven. 3 days later, Charles tells us in his diary that his brother John burst in with a troop of our friends to announce that he too was now a believer. And we sang that hymn, he said, with great joy. Had you been there, could you have joined in? Can you join in with the excitement that we feel in our hearts today when we reflect upon the fact that God is our Father? Don't let anyone deceive you with the idea of the universal fatherhood of God. I remind you again, there are two families in this world. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said to someone, "You are of your father, the devil." And the only way you get into God's family so that he becomes your father, you have to go through the adoption process. You've got to be born again through the new birth, through trusting Jesus Christ, who is God's only begotten Son. He gives you the privilege to be called the Son of God, and you are born into his family. Then for the first time in your life, you can lift your voice to heaven and say, "Our Father, my Father, who art in heaven." But he is not your father until you have accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And I want to ask you to carefully reflect upon that and to do it now. We always try to end our teaching each day with a reminder to you that if you don't know Jesus Christ, you can begin to know him. You're only a prayer away from having a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you confess your sin and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and to come and live within your heart, and you let him know that you believe that he's the Son of God and that you want him to be your Savior, he comes to live within your heart. And friends, I want to tell you, he makes a change. He makes you more and more to be the person he created you to be. And you begin to know a sense of momentum in your life as you follow him. If you haven't done that already, I hope today will be the day when you begin a relationship of prayer with God, prayer that he hears because you have opened the way to heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." If you want to get to the Father in prayer, you must go through Jesus Christ. You must have him living in your heart. And I hope if you haven't already made that important decision, you will do so today. Simply bow your head wherever you are and say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sin and give me the gift of eternal life, which you have promised to those who will put their trust in you." And he will do it. He will come immediately, take up his residency in your heart, and begin to lead and guide and direct and encourage and help you. And then prayer becomes a vital, vital exercise every day. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Hallowed be thy name." Don't forget to be with us for the Friday edition right here on this good station.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where you'll find two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine and our daily email devotional. Just sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new book, 30 Days of Prayer, with specific prayers for your needs. Also available, his book, Prayer, the Great Adventure. Either one is yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New International Version and in standard or large print in the New King James. Get details when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Prayer, the Great Adventure, on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.